In the early 1960s, when Steve Reich was at the beginning of his career, the contemporary classical music scene was dominated by atonal music like this by Pierre Boulez.
And it was fell to my generation to basically say, basta, enough, to music which you could not tap your foot to music to which you could not possibly walk out humming anything, and music which had no harmonic center.
But Reich didn't just sit down and write melodies. He was studying composition at Mills College in California, a hotbed of avant-garde creativity. He was experimenting with lengths of audio tape, splicing them together to form a loop, and putting them on a tape player so that they would run over and over again continuously. Reich went to San Francisco's Union Square and recorded a charismatic street preacher whose sermon hovered between speech and song.
Sure enough, it's going to rain. And as he said, it's going to rain, a pigeon took off. So if you made a tape loop out of it, you heard it's going to rain, and then you hear, which was the pigeon taking off repeatedly on the loop. So you had a pigeon drummer and this incredible voice. Well, I thought, wouldn't it be great if it was like two loops and they were going like, it's going to rain, and the pigeon would just be drumming away.
It's going to rain. Tim Page is a professor of journalism and music at the University of Southern California. He says Reich's work was the opposite of what was going on at the time.
It was very repetitive. It was very, quote-unquote, tonal, and it had a very steady pulse. So it was really setting pretty much all the traditional modernisms that were in fashion in the 70s on their head. And for a lot of us, you know, hearing his music was literally a life changer.
One of those whose life was changed after hearing compositions by Reich was fellow composer David Lang. He first heard It's Gonna Rain on an album he came across at the record store where he worked.
I had never been prepared to hear anything like this. It didn't have a melody, it didn't have harmony, it didn't have, at least that the way I had been prepared to understand it, it didn't have a way of progressing. And I remember thinking, this is the coolest thing I ever heard in my life. I was 17 years old.
Reich became influential, and not just for classical musicians. Brian Eno and David Bowie, as well as hip-hop, all owe something to him. Younger rock musicians are also interested in the music of Reich, like Bryce Dessner, a guitarist with the band The National.
I think for a lot of musicians like myself, Steve Reich's appeal is quite broad and kind of, in a way, just open this big space for musicians to move in.
Dessner is also a classical guitarist and composer. As for his band, Dessner says The National enjoys a daily connection to Reich's music. Drummer Brian Devendorf is obsessed with the composition Clapping Music.
He plays it, you know, every night before the show. He'll play it, you know, for an hour to warm up. And it's kind of fun. It's just like this constant pattern that's just sort of, you know, looping through our heads before we go out on stage is this Steve Reich's Clapping Music as played by Brian.
But it's not just Reich's past that intrigues his fans, says Tim Page.
One of the things that's really sort of extraordinary about Steve Reich is that, you know, he's 75, and yet he's still somebody to whom everybody looks with great interest to see what he'll do next. And that's a rarity.
Reich himself is still looking forward, even after celebrating his 75th birthday.
That young musicians around the world want to and actually do play my music very well. And to go around and hear that, in reality, is the best present that any composer could possibly ask for.
Concerts and festivals celebrating the composer's 75th birthday continue through the year in North America, Europe, and Australia. For VOA News, I'm Gail Wine.